held the first ever Democratic Convention interfaith gathering. That it occurred at all is thanks to insightful Democrats who know the power of faith in their personal lives.
The Democratic Party is a party of many faiths and backgrounds, united behind these core moral values. We support and defend a woman's right to choose a safe, legal abortion.
We remember the words of Jesus Christ, who called upon us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and care for the least among us.
We believe that we are all, every one of us, made in the image of our Creator, by whatever name we call him or her.
All right, some voices from the events surrounding the Democratic National Convention and even the convention itself that began yesterday in Denver, Colorado. Of course, the Republicans have their convention coming up soon, but we're going to be talking about all of the God talk that's emanating from the Democratic Party most recently. Are you buying it? Does it sound to you like what you've been waiting for? If you're one of those who's been out on the sidelines saying, you know, I have some affinity for some of the values that the Democratic Party is promoting, but they seem, some people have called it a godless party, and in the past they've been very uncomfortable, but not so much anymore. I want to hear from you. It's Audio Open Lines. We'll be talking about the values voters, about religion and politics, and about the 2008 presidential election for the next half hour of Issues Etc. coming to you live this Tuesday, August the 26th. 1-877-623-MYIE. That's our call-in number. And our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Is the God talk in the Democratic Party a good thing? I heard Christian conservatives complain for decades that the Democratic Party was, God was nowhere to be found there. And now he is, or at least the word God is everywhere. The Democratic politicians didn't discuss their faith if they had one. And now they do. And now their leading politician, their leading candidate, Barack Obama, is very easy in his discussion of his faith. What do you make of it? 1-877-623-MYIE. Or talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. During Audio Open Lines, we'll bring you a PBS Religion and Ethics News weekly story on religion and politics, and a Fox News roundtable discussing the values voter, still key, still important, and the 2008 presidential election. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's begin Audio Open Lines with this PBS Religion and Ethics Weekly story on religion and politics.
Every weekend, more than 20,000 people come to services at the Evangelical Saddleback Church in Southern California. Last Sunday, pastor and best-selling author Rick Warren urged his massive flock to carefully consider who to vote for in November.
What we need in America, more than visionaries, more than smart leaders, is we need leaders with character.
On the previous evening, both Barack Obama and John McCain were at Saddleback making their case to be the next president. As part of the discussion, Warren asked them to describe what their Christian faith means to them.
It means I believe in that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that I am redeemed through him. That is a source of strength and sustenance on a daily basis.
It means I'm saved and forgiven. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the world. Our faith encompasses not just the United States of America, but the world.
Georgetown University professor of government Clyde Wilcox says faith can tell voters a lot about a potential president.
How will we know how anyone will behave in a crisis? Well, we can look at past behavior, but we can also think, what is it that are their bedrock values that they don't want to change? And for most Americans, those values would be religious.
As Democrats and Republicans head to their national conventions, both camps are actively competing for religious voters. The candidates are talking about their personal faith, and the campaigns are developing wide-ranging strategies for faith-based outreach. It's somewhat unfamiliar territory for the Democrats, who've been criticized in recent presidential elections for appearing not friendly toward religion. This time around, Democrats promise things will be different.
I'm on the right side, hallelujah!
The chief executive officer of the Democratic National Convention in Denver is Leah Daughtry, a fifth-generation Pentecostal pastor. As part of the convention, Daughtry has planned an interfaith prayer gathering and other faith-related events.
All of us have values. We all come to our lives with a certain set of values. For many of us, those values spring from a place of faith. And so what we want people to walk away with is understanding that this is just another part of the Democratic Party.
She acknowledges that hasn't always been the Democratic image in recent years.
It was a puzzling phenomenon to me to see the party that I've always been a member of labeled as a party that doesn't have people of faith or isn't open to people of faith. So I think for me it was really more about us as a party saying, no, wait a minute, we are people of faith. There are millions of us. We became more vocal. We decided to stand up. We decided to stand up for what we believe and to say, this is who I am. I'm inside the party. I'm a person of faith.
That's an interesting explanation, isn't it, for the increase in God talk in the Democratic Party of late. Did you hear the explanation? It was, well, there have always been these people of faith embedded in the Democratic Party, active in the Democratic Party, but never really vocally represented in the Democratic Party, and they decided at some point that they'd had enough and they wanted to stand up and have their voices be heard, and that's why we're hearing more God talk from the Democratic Party. It's an interesting explanation. It's not the explanation that I've heard elsewhere, but it may well be. What do you make of it? Do you believe it? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. What do you make of the God talk in the Democratic Party? How do you explain it? And do you think that it's having its intended effect? We have no illusions here that this God talk may be sincere coming from the individuals that are speaking, but the party's use of it, both the Republican and the Democratic Party, make use of the God talk to their own ends. Do you think it's having its intended effect? 1-877-623-MYIE. Are you encouraged by it? As I said before, religious conservatives complained for decades that the Democratic Party stayed away from God, was uncomfortable with God, and now they aren't, and now are you encouraged? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's talk with DB, who's calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hey, Todd. Hey, I'm not encouraged, but it's not just the Democrats, it's the Republicans as well, and I'm a Republican. But as I look at both sides of the aisle, I notice that it's really not so much focusing on God and certainly not on Christ, but you'll notice that there's a strong tie with the word faith, with values and character, which, yes, stem from faith, but it doesn't really talk about the person and work of Christ. There's no object of faith. It's more about this generic civil religion on both sides of the aisle.
Interesting. Interesting. Thank you, DB. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE. Just civil religion, American civil religion, God in the service of the state or the party on both sides of the aisle. Do you agree or disagree? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The political parties want elections. They want to win elections. They don't make any bones about it. They want to win elections, and then they want to reach their goals by winning elections. And if God talk gets you elected, then good. Just like if talking about the economy gets you elected, or talking about the war gets you elected, or talking about gas prices gets you elected, then good. And if talking about God gets you elected? 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Here's some more from PBS Religion Ethics News Weekly.
One key part of the new Democratic strategy has been reaching out to evangelicals, a longtime constituency of the GOP. Obama has been appealing to those voters using God talk and biblical references.
We still don't abide by that basic precept in Matthew, that whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me.
We're very humble in our approach to this outreach. We're certainly not hoping to win outright the evangelical vote, but we are certainly going to make a serious effort to introduce Senator Obama and his values to the nation, and I think a lot of folks are going to respond to that.
Growing numbers of evangelicals want to expand their agenda beyond abortion to also include issues like poverty, AIDS, and the environment.
What I'm hearing is
you know, a not lockstep in Republicanism. That's what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing people saying, well, I'm going to move away from life, but I am hearing people saying, I'm moving away from just pulling a lever.
Evangelicals are the single largest block of religious voters. In 2004, 40% of George Bush's total vote came from social conservatives. New polls show the majority of those voters are supporting John McCain, but not with the same level of enthusiasm they gave Bush. And there are still significant numbers of undecided evangelical voters. If the Obama campaign can siphon off some of those evangelicals, it could make a big difference, especially in a close election.
All right, we'll hear more of this on the other side of the break. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about you, the voters, and whether or not the God talk on both sides of the aisle, but especially the Democratic side of the aisle, is having its intended effect. John McCain's got his own problem. He's not anticipating being able to pull as many of those values voters, those evangelical voters, as his predecessor or his hoped predecessor was able to do, George W. Bush. Is that true of you? Are you wary, if you consider yourselves an evangelical or values voter, are you wary of John McCain? Could you be siphoned off to Barack Obama? That's what the Obama campaign is hoping for, and the Democratic National Convention as well. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Email us with your questions or comments during Audio Open Lines. 15 more minutes on the other side of this break. Talk back at issuesetc.org. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc. Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Hello, I'm Olivia Gans, Director of American Victims of Abortion. In 1981, I was in college and pregnant. Afraid and confused, I looked to the abortion industry for help. What they didn't tell me was that my abortion would take the life of my baby and leave me empty and alone. They didn't tell me about the years of tears and grief that stay with you long after the abortion. What abortionists won't tell you is that abortion hurts women. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website at nrlc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this hour of the program. We're polling you on the God talk in the Democratic Party. If you've been watching or listening, especially in the news, a lot of God talk opening up the Democratic National Convention. They're looking for that values voter, maybe even the evangelical voter. They're looking to lure back some of those Roman Catholic voters we were talking about earlier in the program. And so God talk is what you do. It's won a lot of elections for the Republican Party. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE. Andy's listening in Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. I think at this point that values voters may no longer just pull the lever, as the fellow in your most recent audio clip said. You have to consider, during 8 years, what has the Republican presidency gotten for values voters? Well, certainly it's gotten two wonderful Supreme Court justices. Certainly the president has managed to hold the line on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. But I think that many people are discouraged enough by the result of other policies of the Republican presidency that they, like me, are feeling rather torn. I would have an enormous degree of difficulty supporting the Republican presidency for the coming 4 years, but the Democrats aren't helping me at all. Even in just the 7 minutes that Teddy Kennedy had, he had to bring up the homosexual issue. Lord, where are we going to get a middle-of-the-road party that will govern this country for the benefit of all the people without pushing these outrageous liberal concerns? That's it.
All right, Andy, thank you very much. I think he voices what a lot of people are hoping for, an alternative to what we've been offered. And time will tell whether or not, and that was Rick Warren in the piece we heard. He says, look, what he's hearing is people saying, I'm moving away from just pulling the lever. At least this time around, I may not be pulling the lever at all, some are saying. Is that you? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. We had an interview with Dr. Alan Carlson of the Howard Center about the formation of a pro-life. Think about this for a moment. Lay aside all your cynicism about third parties, and just listen for a moment. We talked with Alan Carlson about the formation of a pro-life, socially conservative, middle-class, pro-family party. Again, pro-life, socially conservative, pro-family, middle-class party. And if we want to add in what Andy was talking about, one that doesn't spend all its time pushing either a radical left agenda or whatever agenda concerns you on the right. Lay aside your cynicism about whether or not third parties work. Believe it or not, the better part, not the vast majority, but the majority of American politics has been spent with more than two parties. We only came to the two-party system in the 20th century, where we consider all other parties, well, just not even worth trying. Only crazy people do that. Or they're throwing their vote away. I don't think a three-party system is out of the realm of possibility. And there are certainly a lot of Republicans who say, you know, my loyalty could be drawn someplace else if I thought it was realistic. And there are probably a lot of Democrats who say, you know, we spend enough time, Roman Catholic Democrats, values voters and Democrats who say, if we were just given the opportunity, our loyalty could be drawn elsewhere too. Are you among them? 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. Back to PBS and their story on the values voter in the 2008 election. Back to the subject of John McCain and his prospects with the evangelical voting bloc.
John McCain has had a rocky relationship with evangelicals, including some highly publicized rifts with religious right leaders going back to the 2000 elections. Many conservative evangelicals have been frustrated that McCain has not spoken more about his faith or emphasized their key social issues such as abortion and gay marriage. Political observers say McCain can't automatically rely on the faith outreach strategy that worked so well for George W. Bush.
By the issues, social conservatives should still support him. But a generation of Christian right leaders has been increasingly ineffective and older, and I think the McCain campaign is not really geared up for that yet. So I think they'll have a little bit more problem.
At a news conference last week, social conservatives urged the McCain campaign to do more to mobilize their movement.
It's not an issue of whether most evangelicals are going to vote for John McCain. It's an issue of intensity. It's an issue of excitement. It's an issue of passion.
I will be a pro-life president, and this presidency will have pro-life policies.
Many evangelicals hope McCain will expand his Saddleback Forum comments at the Republican convention and beyond.
I think Republicans are going to see increasing numbers of people rally around John McCain. They're comfortable with his own depth of personal character, his faith, his honor. And they know that his positions really do reflect more of what they believe to be important.
While evangelical voters have been getting most of the attention, Roman Catholics will also be crucial in this election. In 2004, a slight majority of Catholics voted for Bush. But then in the midterm elections in 2006, a slight majority swung back to the Democratic side. Both candidates are still refining their Catholic outreach strategies.
Older Catholics, if they're more religious, tend to vote more Democratic. Younger Catholics, if they're more religious, tend to vote more Republican. And so this has been this will be a really key constituency.
All right, we'll get back to the audio in just a second. Are you ready to give up on your party? If you're a Democrat, you say, enough of this, I'd like something else. Or if you're a Republican, ready to give up on your party and look for something else. Things are in flux. When you find the biggest, the largest religious voting bloc in the United States, the Roman Catholics, and neither party has formulated a strategy to appeal to them, to deal with them yet, then things are in flux. Are you part of the flux? 1-877-623. Are you encouraged by the God talk of the Democratic Party? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us at talkback@issuesetc.org.
See.
Another challenge will be reaching out to communities of faith while not alienating other voters. This is an especially complex question for the Democrats.
They do have a secular part of their voting bloc. Maybe 20% of Americans are seculars. Another 10% are religious but don't like to hear religion and politics mixing. Some are Jews who don't want to hear Christian politics mentioned so much.
Daughtry says this hasn't been an issue for them so far.
We really haven't had, you know, blowback from people who are afraid we're going to make this the church of the Democratic Party. It's all a value system. We're not basing our values as Democrats on a holy text. We're basing it on a value system of how we love and treat and care for each other in community.
As the campaign outreach strategies move forward, some observers worry about the potential impact on religious communities.
The mission of a church is not really to elect a candidate. The mission of a church or a synagogue or a mosque or whatever is to, you know, reach out to their congregants and provide them with the guidance and advice. And oftentimes, politics can interfere with that.
Rick Warren doesn't endorse candidates, but I asked him if he was worried about religious voters becoming another special interest group.
Well, it is an interest group. Sorry to say that, but it is an interest group. And it happens to be probably the largest interest group. I mean, unions are an interest group. Teachers are an interest group. Gays are an interest group. So should only other interest groups be allowed to have the candidates come to their venues?
He says people of faith should and will be a factor at the polls this fall.
And I don't understand when people say, well, I don't like any of the candidates, I'm not going to vote. Oh, come on. Then you need to move to another country. Okay, really. And you need to see what it's like to not have real freedoms and not to be able to have a voice.
Both campaigns plan to work overtime to capture those votes. I'm Kim Lawton reporting.
Now, I do need to respond to something that Rick Warren said at the end of that piece. In one sense, I agree with him, and in another sense, I profoundly disagree. That for the Christian who says, you know, I'm fed up, and my response will be, I'm not going to vote. I think that's an irresponsible answer. So there I agree with Warren. But we don't vote just because we have the freedom to do so. And that if we don't vote, we're not exercising our freedom. That may be part of it, but I think it's a small part of it. Christians don't vote because it's an exercise of freedom. Christians vote, let me say this. Christians also don't vote just to get their party elected or to get their agendas moved forward or in their own self-interest. Christians vote in the interests of their neighbors. The reason why a Christian who is fed up to his gills with his own party or with their candidate or any of those things still goes to the polling place and votes the way he does, imperfect as that vote may end up being, the reason he goes in there and he continues to vote is not to celebrate his freedom, but to help and serve his neighbor. We don't vote in our own interests. We vote in the interests of our neighbor. It's one way, by exercising this freedom, that we can serve our neighbor in a very profound way. Oh, by the way, those neighbors include the least to the greatest, those in the womb, those at the end of life, and everywhere in between. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.